Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning. My name's Andy. It is great to be with you and welcome again to the Vineyard. This summer, as many of you know, we've been doing a bit of a different type of sermon series. Before, we preached all the way through a book of the Bible called Ephesians. You can find those talks on our website. But for the summer, we've been looking at what seems lost or challenging because of the pandemic and the really strange times we find ourselves living in right now. And then what is the biblical practice that we can do? What is the posture we can take? What's the virtues we can pursue that is like the antidote to where we find ourselves? What are the practices, the habits that push back on the false narratives and lies and obstacles that are holding us back or try and keep us overwhelmed, unstable, and ineffective? Some of what we've been talking about has been directly pandemic related. Other things are trends, beliefs, ideas that have been accelerated due to the pandemic. Things like, in a world of quick conflict and cancellation, practice forgiveness. In a world of endless acceleration, where everything is just moving crazy and fast, build in Sabbath rest and boundaries. In a world of grief and loss, learn to practice gratitude. And then last week, Sarah talked to us about, in a world of just endless self-help, how do we get our needs met from Jesus? Today, I want to talk about asking questions. It may just be me, but maybe you've noticed this as well. It just feels like we are living in such a polarized world right now that is so full of strong opinions, definitive statements, and pressure to take positions. I was reading an online news website and my head began to spin because, you know, one article said one thing definitively and then the next article said another thing definitively, and it just kept going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and everyone had their hot takes and their opinions and all said with strong authority, and it's like, oh gosh, everybody everywhere has a take and an opinion, and I think this has just been supercharged by the pandemic. And I think it's in response to the vast uncertainty of the world we live in. We just have this need for certainty, which attracts us to and produces some of these big, bold statements and pushes questions and dialogue away from us. We also, of course, live in the information age, and we have access to any type of opinion or hot take out there, no matter how fringe it might be. Plus, the way media and data are right now and how they're monetized, it's usually by clicks and views rather than by quality, which leads us towards big, bold, clickbait-type statements designed to attract our attention so that we click or we listen. And whether the thing enrages us or confirms our opinions and biases, it doesn't really matter because they've hooked us in and we've clicked or we've viewed, and the people that produce these things have gotten what they want out of us. Plus, with all this access to all this information, anyone can line up an expert in something somewhere to reinforce our thinking. And there just seems to be endless contested narratives out there with no room for honest dialogue. And it just can be overwhelming. All this and more has led me to reflect on actually questions and how powerful questions can be, especially in this moment of declarations and definitive statements and aggressive positions on everything, how questions can actually be an antidote and a bypass around a whole lot of that, and how they can actually be a gateway into more of the presence and peace of Jesus for us, more of an encounter with Jesus for us and those around us, and how we can use questions to help others grow in faith, and how we can use questions to help us talk to friends, family, and everyone around us about Jesus. So I want to talk about the power of questions. And I love questions. I try and use them all the time. Why do I love them? Well, I love them because the Bible is full of questions. I don't know if you know this, but it really has so many questions in it. And I think it's something that we should pay attention to. Here's just a few examples. Book of Genesis. Now, it's not the first thing that God says to Adam and Eve, but One of the very first things he says to Adam and Eve is actually a series of questions that God already knows the answers to, but he's questioning Adam and Eve. And you can begin to see this in Genesis chapter 3. He asks them, "Where are you?" He asks them, "Who told you you were naked?" He also asks them, "What is this you have done?" So some of the very first questions God makes are questions to Adam and to Eve. If you find Isaiah chapter 6, one of the most powerful prophetic chapters in all the scriptures, Isaiah has this great vision of God on his throne in all his glory. And the first thing he hears the Lord speak is a question: "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" And it's catalytic for Isaiah's call and prophetic mission and commissioning and his prophetic journey. If you continue on in the Old Testament, you'll come to the book of Job, and Job in his sufferings seeks answers, and his counselors are all around him, and they're trying to give answers and what Job's done and what he hasn't done, and Job is questioning, he's seeking answers about why he suffers, but instead of answers, he gets in return a series of intense questions back from God with no real answer. And it begins in Job chapter 38, where the Lord robustly begins to challenge him and says, "I am going to question you." And then it goes on for a couple of chapters where the Lord just asks him questions over and over and over again. Jesus was a master of questions. He certainly spoke truth and taught truth and made plenty of statements, but he frequently used questions and used them really interestingly and powerfully. In the Gospels, it's over 300 different questions that Jesus uses, and he often answers questions with questions, which is wonderful and infuriating all at the same time. He asks questions to cut through everything and just drive straight to the heart. You see this in Matthew chapter 16, where he asks his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they give him an answer. And then he just goes straight at them and he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" He also uses questions to really drive home his teaching. You see this in Luke chapter 10, which is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end, when Jesus has taught the parable, he says this: "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." He uses a question to not just say a parable that the religious leaders then go away and think about for a while. He uses a question to drive home the heart of his teaching. He also used questions to not get sidetracked into other people's issues, agendas, and problems. And you see this in Mark chapter 11, where again the religious leaders that come to him and they question him, and he answers their question with a question. He says, "I'll ask you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or human origin? Tell me." And then the scriptures tell us to go away and have a little confab, and then they come back and they just say, "Well, I don't know." And then Jesus comes back to them and says, "Well, I'm not going to answer your question either." And it's part of the storyline of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is on his way to the cross and he will not be distracted. He will not be waylaid by anyone. And so he uses questions to not go on other people's agendas. He also used questions to engage people and to provoke faith in preparation for miracles. You begin to see this in Mark chapter 10. Where blind Bartimaeus is there, he's crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus, and they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a powerful question. Matthew chapter 8, the centurion comes and begs Jesus to do something about his servant who's suffering terribly. And Jesus says, "Shall I come and heal him?" It's a question to provoke and draw out faith. These questions draw out from the people who are coming to Jesus, "What do you really want me to do for you?" John chapter 5, verse 6, there's a lame man by the pool called Bethsaida. Jesus simply asks him, "Do you want to get well?" Powerful, provocative question just before Jesus does a miracle. And then in John chapter 6, this is the feeding of the multitudes. Jesus asks a question to introduce this miracle of multiplication of food. Jesus sees the crowd, and then he says to one of his disciples to prepare them and to draw them into what he wants to do, this great miracle of multiplication that will point to him as the bread of life. He says, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And then John's gospel says he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus used questions to pull people in when he was about to do a miracle. There's a whole lot more in the life of Jesus. If you are interested in Jesus, and I find Jesus to be the most compelling person to have ever walked the face of this earth, if you are just interested in Jesus, do a Bible study for the rest of the summer. Go through the Gospels and just look at all of his questions and think about them and ponder them and even let them question you. That would be incredibly powerful and good for your soul. So I love questions because we see them in the Bible. I love questions because Jesus is a master of the question. But I also love questions because they provoke us to action. They get us out of apathy and inaction, and they point the way towards movement and momentum in every part of our life, and certainly in the part of our lives where we are following Jesus and in submission to him. And if you read the Gospels, the disciples of Jesus are the ones who are in motion with him. Now, they may get it wrong at times, and they often did, but they're the ones in action. They're with Jesus, and the trajectory of their life is motion with him and following after him. The religious leaders and the crowds are either in motion away from Jesus, against Jesus, or they're holding back in judgment. They're listening to Jesus, but they're not taking any action. Disciples don't just hear or think about Jesus. They put his words into practice, into their lives, which creates motion. And questions often provoke us to take responsibility. And they do it so much more differently and, I think, effectively than just simple statements. You know, if someone just makes a statement to you or to me, you know, it may or may not be true. We may or may not agree with it. It's just someone from the outside of us saying something to us, right? And we're free to agree, disagree. It may provoke us to action at times, but for lots of us, it probably doesn't, because statements have a way of letting us off the hook when it comes to responsibility, and questions have a way of getting to the heart and provoking us to take responsibility for our own lives and our own trajectory and motion, and to face truth. Good questions stir us to evaluate where we really are and take responsibility for that, and then take action, even if the action is deciding not to engage. It goes from what somebody else thinks I should do to what do I think I should do, and what am I willing to do? Jesus made plenty of truth statements about who he was, but there were also powerful moments where he questions the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And it forces the disciples to evaluate and to give an answer and to consider implications and to take action and responsibility for who they decided upon in their hearts that Jesus was and is. And I so love all of that, and so should you. I also love questions because they help us build communities of love and care and encouragement where we help each other follow Jesus. And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, ministers to us through one another and helps us be this family, helps us listen and connect. Have you ever not been listened to? Have you ever had one of those experiences where you've just been talked at before? It doesn't really feel great, does it? When someone just talks at you for a half an hour and they don't even come up for breath, and they haven't even asked you a question about you or been present really with you. They've just been caring only about, you know, just talking at you and all that stuff. That's just a really difficult place to be. Questions say, "I want to engage with you, not just talk at you," which is really a big deal. Learning to ask each other good questions that draw something out of us is one of the most loving things you can do in a friendship, a marriage, a work relationship, and certainly in our church family relationships. If you want to treat people well, if you want to love people well, if you want to be present with people, ask good questions and listen to their response and remember their responses. It's incredibly powerful. But also, asking questions specifically about our life with Jesus is important as well, because not only do people feel loved when we get asked questions and things get drawn out of us, we can help each other move closer to Jesus and get unstuck when we feel stuck in our faith journeys with Him. We can encourage one another with questions, which again, hugely important for our life with Jesus and following Him, especially as we look to do that in community. If you're not in the type of relationships that ask you questions and ask you questions about how you are doing with Jesus and what that looks like for you right now, you should be. You should be. And then just to finish up this little section about why I love questions, I just find that questions, they leave room for the Holy Spirit to move and to act in just a different way than statements do. You just never know what questions might reveal or what's going to be brought up in someone's answers or what they might say when you ask them a question and then where that conversation could go. It's just a real opportunity to be led by the Spirit and then to give Him space to move as you ask someone a genuine question and they give a response, and then where might the Holy Spirit want to take that conversation? Whether you're talking with a spouse, one of your children, someone from your church family that you've known for years, and you're just walking as disciples together following Jesus, or you're talking to someone you've just met on the bus or something like that, and you hope to influence them towards Jesus, by asking questions, it gives room for the Holy Spirit to stir things up, space for Him to move and fill, no matter who we're talking to. Well, I want to end by offering you some examples of what this could look like in the life of our church and just offer you five discipleship questions, how we as a church family might take this and run with it a bit this summer and beyond and encourage one another and even use some of these questions to talk to people about faith in Jesus. Some of you may remember a pastor called Jordan Tseng, a dear friend of mine, friend of our church. He is a pastor of Blue Water Mission Church in Hawaii. He wrote a book called Miracle Work that a number of you have read and been through. And he spoke in BCV and at a conference we did here in Belfast in 2019. Went back when we used to do things like conferences and stuff like that. And in his church in Hawaii, he's built this culture where he calls the five discipleship questions, designed to do just what I've been talking about. Help everyone grow in their life with Jesus by asking them and answering them, taking responsibility, helping one another get unstuck, helping us find gateways to actions we can take that build momentum in every area. And I'm going to give you these five discipleship questions. I was so taken with them, and I've begun to practice them in my own life and just to ask variations of these questions to people as I'm talking to them about Jesus or just talking to them about life. And so I wanted to offer them to you and just encourage us to begin to ask questions like these in our relationships. And just as I briefly run through them, just I would love for you to think about what would it be like if someone asked you a version of these questions somewhat regularly. Now, not to shame you or to like process you or to do something to you, but out of loving care and offering to help and genuine interest in who you are and your life with Jesus and how that is going. And also, would you think about that? But would you think about what it might be like to ask other people these questions and to love and serve them and to offer them something of yourself in that way? And maybe also think about, instead of the pressure of sharing your faith and the declarations we feel we need to make as we're talking to people about Jesus, or the pressure to have all the answers when we talk to people about our journey of faith in Jesus and who He is and what He means to us and how they might find life in Him, what if we actually learn to ask questions and give room for the Holy Spirit to work there? So again, these are questions, they're examples, they're not a formula. You can have variations of your own, you can think up entirely new ones on your own, but they each question in of itself opens up a whole set of conversations that are important and go anywhere. You might only ask one or two in a conversation, and then the conversation goes off elsewhere. That's grand. That's wonderful. Again, think up your own questions. These are just some to get us started. You may want to write them down. If you're like me, frameworks and examples are helpful. And so here we go. The first question, what is Jesus saying to you right now? Or maybe you might ask, what do you think Jesus has for you to do in this season, something like that. What do you think Jesus has for you to be doing right now? You know, following Jesus, if we're serious about that, that actually means listening to him. And we read in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And that question, what is Jesus saying to you right now? It assumes we're actually following him and listening to him. And that we have some understanding of what is he asking of us right here and right now. You know, deep within us, we know our lives should have purpose. Our lives should count for something. We believe that Jesus has things for us to be doing. And he wants to help us do those things. And he wants to empower us to do those things and guide us into those things and set us into motion to fulfill our purpose in him. We learned in Ephesians when we did our sermon series on that, we looked at chapter 2. We learned that we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. He has things for us. He has purpose for our lives. And instinctively we know, whether we're following Jesus or not, our lives should count for something. Now you might say that's a really scary question, because some of us might say, what is Jesus saying to me? I have absolutely no idea, or nothing. And that actually is okay in the sense that, well, at least there it is. It's out there. Let's have a helpful conversation about that. Can we pray about that right now? Could we listen to Jesus together by the Holy Spirit right now? Could I be praying for you about that, that Jesus would speak to you? Can I weigh in with what I think he might be speaking to you? Could we engage a bit with that space? So even if in your heart of hearts you're like, I would hate that question because my answer would be nothing. What if it could be a catalyst to begin to listen and to begin to move forward? And if you're encountering people who they're not currently following Jesus and asking, they don't believe in Jesus. So if you ask them, what is Jesus saying to you right now? Like, that's just not really going to fly. What if you just simply ask them, what do you feel led to do recently? What's your dream right now for your life? It's a way of you engaging and pulling them in, not to trick them or anything like that, but again, to leave room. We all, following Jesus or not, believe our lives are to count for something. And when we engage people in that space, it's room for the Spirit to work and to move and draw them closer to Jesus. He might even use you to do it. Second question. So it's, what is Jesus saying to you? Second question, what are you doing about that? That is such a provocative question, isn't it? It just reveals what's going on in us, doesn't it? Whether we're being asked about our rhythms that we have for following Jesus or our weekly rhythms of exercise, it's really provocative. It helps us and others move from talking about or thinking about something to actually doing something or trying something or following through on something. Disciples are people who actually put Jesus' words and life into practice, into their life. They don't just think about it, they actually do something about it. And again, we're not asking questions like this to shame you or me or anyone. These questions just actually help us be honest. They help us prioritize and they help us get into motion and keep moving forward. Now, if you ask me, what are you, Andy, what are you doing about the fact that, you know, you think you should be spending more time with Jesus than you already are? Well, that's just simply an opportunity for me to be honest and to step into action. And if I were to say, I'm not doing anything about that right now, you could say, well, Andy, why not? Why not? Or, well, Andy, do you want to start doing something about that? And it can just be this non-shaming, fruitful conversation that the Holy Spirit can breathe on. And it's, rather than shaming, it's actually someone cares enough to lovingly ask me if I'm doing anything about something that I say matters to me. And that's a loving conversation. Third question, what's hard about that? What's hard about that? Or we might say, what's getting in the way of that? That's a powerful question because it helps us name things that we think are holding us back in our life with Jesus or another part of our life. It's a way for us to listen to people and what is going on that is very difficult in their life. And sometimes, particularly when we're in seasons of grief and loss, we don't need somebody to offer us 1,000 solutions or to fix it. We just need someone to listen to us and acknowledge that, yeah, actually things are hard in our life, and we just need somebody to be present with us in it. And even just that unlocks something and unlocks some motion and momentum and some healing for us. And it's really, really powerful. But other times, this question can reveal something that actually could change and could change really, really quickly. know, I can't tell you how many times I've been really stuck on a problem or an area of my life with Jesus, knowing I was supposed to do something, but I'm not doing anything about it and feeling like I'm in a really hard place. And a version of this question was asked by someone who cares about me, and it just got me unstuck. And it revealed, like sometimes it revealed that I was just being lazy. That's what it revealed. And I just needed to do what I knew God was calling me to do. Or sometimes, it just revealed that I was saying things like, I'm busy. And I was just really generalizing, well, I'm busy and I can't engage with that. I can't pursue that thing right now. But then it just kind of, the layers got peeled away. And it actually, I discovered what I meant by saying I'm busy means that I probably need to rethink my rule of life, which just helps me set priorities before God and make sure that I can say yes to the things that I know I'm supposed to say yes to and not let them get crowded out by the other things of life that so easily get in the way. Sometimes when we're honest and we just name what is hard, we can then see the way to get through it with God's help and with the help of His community around us. And you can easily ask people who aren't following Jesus that question. It shows that you care for them, you're present to them, rather than just trying to get them to believe something and then walk away. So the next question is, who's in this with you? Who are you bringing along with you in this? And that's a powerful question because it reveals, who are we walking with? Who is our community? Who's our tribe? Who's with us? Who are we influencing and investing in? Who's influencing us and investing in us? And again, you might say, look, well, the answer is embarrassing. The answer is no one. I'm walking alone here. Well, that can be a powerful catalyst to get a tribe around us, to get some help around us, and to actually get us into motion. And then the last question is, how can I help? How can I help? That's pretty self-explanatory, but it's really powerful. It communicates love and care and investment. And in this season of your life, in this moment of your life, I would be willing to help you. How can I help you? And that allows the person to take responsibility for their own life and what they need and what they actually need help with. But it also allows us to come alongside and to help and to be very present to them and to be used by the Holy Spirit in big ways and in small ways, to come alongside, to encourage, to bless, to pray for, to just say, look, I've been a little ways down the road here, and maybe I can help you in this season of your life. And as we finish, again, this is not a method or a program. It's something you need to do to people or to memorize and use verbatim, or else it doesn't count. These are simply harnessing the power of questions to help us be a community, to help us spur one another on to momentum in Jesus' name. And to love and listen to and to help one another, and just to go deeper than how's the football and the weather. So use these questions, use them with one another, and let's build community as we head into the end of summer and the start of autumn. Better yet, come up with questions that are all your own. Use them with people you know follow Jesus and help them. Use them with people that are currently not walking with Jesus. There are ways to start conversations, to ask questions, and not just slam people with statements. And as we emerge into some new normals, into different stages of this pandemic wilderness time, when we're surrounded by polarized statements and hot takes and the pressure to have positions on everything, what if we were the people who were asking the provocative, loving, momentum-generating questions that provoke one another to more in our life with Jesus? And questions that pointed everyone towards faith and hope and life in Jesus' name. Well, just as we move into a time of ministry, I just felt stirred just to ask you some questions. Do you ever let Jesus ask you any questions? Do you ever let the Bible ask you any questions? Would you sit with some questions that Jesus asked this week? Would you sit specifically with in Mark chapter 10 when he asked the disciples, what do you want me to do for you? What if you sat with that question? What if that was a question Jesus is asking you? What would you say back to him? Would you go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 5, where Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Would you sit with that question? And would you sit in the presence of Jesus? And would you give a response? Would you let that question bring you to a place of intimacy with Jesus? And what do you say, or who do you say Jesus is? Another question for you is, are you in relationships where people ask you about your life with Jesus? And if you're like, no, actually, I'm not, would you consider giving permission to people to ask you questions like this in order to generate momentum? And would you allow yourself to be loved and cared for by people who are following Jesus and care about where you are in that journey with Jesus? Would you cultivate those relationships? Would you take some steps there? Would you also ask yourself really, really honestly, do you do this for anyone else? Do we consciously ask other people about their story? Do we love them by being present and drawing out of them what's in their heart, what God may have for them, what's alive for them right now? Or do we just talk at people? Would you do an honest inventory? This is a skill we learn, to love people well by asking good questions and listening to their heart and offering ourselves in a way of help. Would you honestly evaluate where you are with that and take some steps and some decision points to make some changes here? And then would you consider actively asking questions of everyone you meet and just watching for the Holy Spirit? Would you give the Holy Spirit space? Would you let the Holy Spirit surprise you with how you can love and serve and influence many people who are crying out for the kind of life that Jesus offers, even though they don't yet realize it? Would you allow yourself to be used in this way? So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you rest on the men and women and children of the Vineyard? Would we grow in this area? Would we be a community of encouragement, momentum, power, empowering, and evangelism? And would you teach us something about the way Jesus asked questions? Could we utilize those kinds of things and see amazing things happen? Would you draw us closer as a community? Would you give us momentum? Would we be stepping more fully into each one of our purposes for our life? And Lord, would you bring people to our community who are looking for Jesus? And would you help us to use questions to share our faith and life with Jesus? Fill us up, Lord. Send us out to love well, to serve well, and to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.